It was Thanksgiving on Friday. I'm still, buttons are a bit tight. We had a lot of turkey and good food. Just love the Americans. Any Americans here this morning? We celebrate y'all. And it was, that's what I love about every nation. You know, we come together with different cultures and food. And as some of you know, I love food. Let's just pray together as I start this morning. Father, we want to thank you this morning that you are here. Father, we thank you for your presence. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. Father, I pray that this morning that you will speak through me as I share this message, Father. I pray that you'll come and encourage. I pray that you'll come and strengthen and build up some people here, God. Father, whatever they're going through today and this season of their lives, we thank you, God, that you are so mindful of them and that you desire to come and encourage them this morning through this message, Father, through the fellowship of the people here, God. Lord, we pray that you'll have your way, and I pray that every heart will be open here in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing a series called The Ripple Effect, and we are coming to the end of our series, where we've just been looking at how people that have gone before us have caused a ripple effect throughout history. How many of you know that there's many that has gone before us, even in this nation, that came here and prayed? And you look at, they think about St. Patrick that came here, not even from this nation, and the ripple effect that he's caused in this nation, just because of his obedience. And what God has called him to do and how he's influenced lives. You know, I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for the people. I mean, we just had Thanksgiving, so there's a lot of things to be thankful for. But I'm just thankful for the people that played a part in my life. People that were committed to pray for our family. And so we're going to just be looking this morning, just a couple of things God has put in my heart to share with you. And, you know, how he's called us. You know, we've looked in Scripture in Matthew 14, verse 18. And we look here, this is where Jesus was walking next to the Sea of Galilee. I've had the privilege to be there a few times, several times. And just to kind of set the scene a little bit. And, you know, there was fishermen fishing there. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. And then what he saw was two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. You know, and they were casting their net into the lake, you know, for they were fishermen. And what Jesus said, you know, Jesus gave this invitation. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now that moment, these men, this was their occupation. This is what they've done all their life. And to that point, when they heard Jesus call them and give them this invitation and said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That was a call where Jesus called them to himself and said, come on this journey with me. I've got a few things I want to teach you. There's a few things I want to instill in you. And I want to teach you what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple means. Disciple means is a follower of Jesus. And I remember that moment when, you know, in London, when I was just traveling around, when God spoke to me and said, you know, come, I want you to have a relationship with me. That's what the Father is about. He's about relationship. How many of you know that God is a relational God? There's relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's his desire for us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He's like, come follow me. I want to show you. I want to reveal to you who the Father is. And that's who Jesus was. He came in the form of as a man and walked on the face of this earth. And he had this message in his heart that he just wanted to share with the world. He was love. He was about his Father's business at one stage. That's what he said. And that's what he desires, is that we will have a relationship with him. And this is what he wanted to have with these fishermen. And I love how God calls, and this is what we've learned in the series, how God calls the ordinary to to do the extraordinary. These were simple men. These were men that were, they were fishermen. You know, they were uneducated. And he just said, come, I want to teach you. So we know that the call to discipleship is a call to follow Jesus. That's our desire. We want to follow him. I believe that in this journey, it's a discipleship journey. Now, a discipleship is not an event, friends. It's not an encounter. It's not an experience. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process where we learn how to lay things down in the same way as those fishermen laid down their nets and they said, yes, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. There's some sacrifice involved. Jesus' mission was to equip these ordinary men. Now, I've called them dodgy men because some of them were really dodgy. Okay, some of them were, you know, they were just living in sin. And I mean, they were just doing things, going their own way. But God said, you know, I want to reveal to you something. I want to give you a better life. I want to deposit something in you. So come spend time with me. Come follow me. And it says that part that says, come follow me and I will make you. Now that word make you is where he wants to change us. He wants us to become more like Jesus. He wants to teach us how to love people. He wants to make us more attractive to this world. He wants us to, that's what fishermen means, just to be fishers of men, where people actually are attracted to us in something that we have that the world does not offer. That's why they wanted to see. They saw something in Jesus that drew them to him. Now, he went about teaching and preaching around that beautiful lake, and people followed him. There's a reason why people came to Jesus. Something was drawing them. There was something upon Jesus and in Jesus that was so attractive. They saw lives was changed. Lives was transformed because of what he did. He prayed for the sick. People's eyes were open. And I love when we walk with Jesus, that's when those men really discovered their purpose in life. How many of you want to discover your purpose? And that's what God did through his son Jesus. When they spoke, when Jesus spent time with these disciples, they realized and they discovered who they are and whose they are. That's certainly when I came to God and I've given my life to him, there's something that I discovered about him and that I didn't know before. Before I went to church because my mom said, hey, come to church. You know, and I did it more for my mom than anyone else. It wasn't about a relationship. I think that's what religion is. Sometimes it's just about works. I'm trying to earn my salvation and my mom's approval. And so I was then on that journey when I said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Show me what it means to follow you. And what does it mean to be a fisher of men? And that's where the process of where God started to change my life and said, Johan, this is who you are. This is my purpose for your life. And I just want to share a message this morning that I've entitled The Ripple Effect of Belief. And I really believe that God wants to put belief back in our hearts. Because there's something about Jesus when the disciples spend time with him and they've observed and they've seen what Jesus has done. How many of you know that faith comes by hearing? Faith comes by witnessing. There's the power of the testimony. We're going to hear a testimony this morning of what God has done in somebody's life when they said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. But I love that. When they've seen and they've heard this story, there was a belief. You know what? Belief, all things are possible. Things can happen. I mean, I thought maybe at the time there was that negativity that was in the land and on these fishermen. I mean, they didn't catch many fish on that day, and they've been discouraged and they've just gone about their lives, their ordinary lives. And then Jesus came along and said, come and spend time with me. And I believe there's something about Jesus that rubbed off on these followers, these men, these fishermen, that there was a belief there that was restored. And believing, you know what, actually, my life can change. I can make an influence. I can have an impact on in my life and on other people's lives. And so as they received, God started to use them in an amazing way. They were not perfect people. I love how God calls the imperfect, ordinary, sinners. Jesus was a friend of sinners. I mean, it wasn't about what ethnicity you're from. That's what I love about every nation, that we are all inclusive and we're not exclusive. You've heard me say that many times. Because that's what the kingdom is about. When Jesus looked, I believe in a way, he was colorblind. He didn't see different races and people. I mean, for him, it was just about people's hearts and who people were. And it was about kingdom. And so he then invited them, said, come, I will make you. God's desire for our lives is for us to encounter, carry, and release his presence and power. I love this in Exodus as God spoke to Moses. He says this in Exodus 9:16, but for this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. I love that. This is my purpose, that I've raised you up. And that I want you to experience my power. I want you to encounter me. When Jesus calls us to himself, we encounter him. There's something about him that he carries. There's a love that he carries. He just loves in such a way. And I'm sometimes saddened how, you know, people would paint or have a picture of who Jesus is. I often say this, that, you know, what we know about God or believe about God will determine that we either run to him or from him. Some people have just painted him to be this religious, angry father. You're just like, oh God, I don't want to experience your wrath. You know, don't hit me. Don't beat me up. But God is love. That's who he is. Wherever Jesus went, people were drawn to him because he carried this love that was so contagious. And when Jesus saw and looked on the crowd, he had compassion. He was moved by compassion. And so Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. Some of you need to hear it this morning. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. God just wants you to know that you are his masterpiece. And as we go on this journey with him, I always say that we are under construction. We are a work in progress. We are not the final product yet. My wife will say that, will agree with that. We have imperfections. We have human limitations. So what he's doing is as he created us anew in Christ, we are a new creation. That's when we invite Jesus into our life. We have become a new creation in him. And that's what happens. There's a separation. And this is where the Israelites, where they spent some time in Egypt. They were in captivity and they were in bondage in a place, where there was slavery. Then God spoke to Moses and he said, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt and I want you to lead them into the promised land, into Canaan. So there's a contrast between the old and the new. The old being in Egypt, and he's saying, you know what, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. So the old things have passed away. So it's the old, and that's the crossover. We're crossing over from that old life. And, you know, when we say yes, we're crossing through to the other side and saying, we're taking hold of that promise that God has for us. Exodus story tells us that the Israelites had just left behind slavery in Egypt. And they crossed through the Red Sea, which God had parted through. A strong wind from on their journey towards the promised land. In the same way, we're going to look today, and even the baptism, you know, when we baptize people in water, that's the old, the leave behind the old, and then coming out, and that's the new, that we are resurrected with God in a new, and it gives us a new life. Colossians 3 verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Friends, I need to do this daily. You know, because when we come to God, it's not now, okay, all our troubles disappear. Daily, you know, we need to take things off and put some new things on. There's some application involved. You know, as I said, we're under construction. It's a process. And there's some things that God commands us to, you know, instructs us to take off. Take off that old nature, that old way of thinking. And even as they spent time in Egypt, you know, they were familiar with the culture and that and in slavery. And that's what a slave does. He doesn't know what it's like to be free. And so that's our mentality that starts to change when we ask God to say, Lord, come and help us. Come and help us. Make me into a new person. Come and change my heart. And I love that of God. You know, He doesn't overwhelm you and then put your finger and saying, you need to do all these things in this whole list. Sometimes He'll just say, most of the time, He'll just say one thing. I want you just to change the way you think. I want to renew you. Let me put a new heart in you. Let me change your heart towards people. Let me take that hatred, that racism out of your heart. I want to give you a love for these people. But what I really believe God wants to do is He wants to restore a belief in our hearts. That belief that with God all things are possible. How many of you know believe that God lives in the realm of the possible? Because that's what the scripture says. With God, all things are possible. And I believe that if God can change me, He can change every person that I come in contact with. I've met people and said, it's impossible. I've been praying for this person for many, many years. There's no way that that person can change. Why should I even pray for that person? And then God gives you a love for the unlovables. And He said, I want you to pray. I want you to believe that I can change his life. I can change his heart. I can change his heart of flesh, his heart of stone into heart of flesh. And I've seen it. I've seen my brother after 36 years where I've been praying for him and for a change in his life. Friends, it was 4 weeks, just 4.5 weeks ago, he's committed his life. He said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Come and change me. And God has given him a new heart. Today he's in church. Today he's walking with him, with God. He's testifying. God has changed him. He's making him a better father, a better witness, a better leader, a better husband because of the decisions that he's made. I just love because of that decision and that belief that God has put in his heart and saying that all things are possible. That we're seeing that ripple effect now through our family. And how he's walking with this positivity. You know, everything's going to be okay. But you know what? 4.5 weeks ago, everything was not okay. He tried to commit his own life. By God's grace, my family walked in and he was on the floor just in time. They called the ambulance after he slit his wrist and they put him in the ambulance, but God saved his life just in time. And at that point, he didn't have belief. He didn't believe that my life is, I'm worthy to be on this earth. He didn't feel that he's loved or valued, and he had so many lies. Things just telling him that he's insignificant, that he will not make it in life, that he will not succeed. He's a failure. He's a nobody. And he had this whole identity about himself. And even in times that he said when he looked in the mirror, he's like, you know what? Just, you know, he just had this whole identity about who he is that was contrary to what God was thinking about him. And when God, how many of you believe that when God looks at us, he looks to us in a different way we look at ourselves and how the world looks at us. And I love that about God. And there's now somebody that's equipping him, that's walking with him and said, Francois, I believe in you. I love that. I love that about the family of God, the church of God, when people come and they phone you and, hey, how are you doing? I want to encourage you. You're going to be fine. It's going to work out. And they support them. And there's people that's got around my brother and they are walking with him. And he's seeing this love in action through people. And it's had such an effect on his life. You know, for 36 years, we never gave up on my brother. I want to encourage you, friend, do not give up on people. Because what God can do is amazing. He lives in the realm of the possible. And with God, all things are possible. He can change lives around as people open their hearts to him. I love this story about feeding the 5,000. I love where these people were following Jesus and they were, for the whole day, they've seen these miracles happen. And there came a point where the people were hungry and they were sitting there and this is what Jesus, I'm going to read from John 6, verse 1. He says here, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. This is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with the disciples. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Peter, to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, he said this, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So he gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into this world. That question, where shall we? Jesus knew exactly what was about to happen. And friends, sometimes in my journey, I know when I'm walking with Jesus and walking in my relationship with God, the Father, his challenges that I have, that he test my faith and say, you know, is this possible? And, you know, I must admit, you know, I don't always believe. I just don't always believe in a moment that God can do this. But I know if God has said it, he will do it. It's in his word. That's what God, and I've come to know that God is not a liar. When he's promised something, that is something that he will do. And certainly this is what his disciples experienced that day. Is this possible? Ooh, I'm not sure. And this is after they've seen the miracles that happened on that day. But Jesus tested their faith. And they believed that he could provide for people. Because after that, they've witnessed this miracle, and people, he experienced that miracle, and people were fed. Because faith comes by hearing, but also seeing and witnessing. And that's why I love. God is just restoring belief again. I just had this picture on this mountain in Belfast, just these letters, that this word just saying belief. And that's what I believe he's doing. He's restoring the belief in Belfast. He's storing belief in families. That with him, all things are possible. And maybe you're here this morning and you're in a situation. You're like, I don't know if this is possible. Maybe you're feeling that negativity even in your family. Maybe you're in a moment where you're believing God for his provision financially, or whatever it is, and you're just facing this mountain, and you're just looking at this mountain, and how on earth is this going to be possible? But I just want to say to you that God is saying, with God, all things are possible. That he wants to give you faith. And I believe that he wants us to overcome this faith, this unbelief. Because unbelief is something that really works. Unbelief crumbles when we dismantle the support structure that lies beneath it. That is what's coming against our faith. And how do we overcome this unbelief? I believe we just need to repent from it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. I believe, but I also, Lord, forgive me, as that one guy said, of my unbelief. Because I believe we can have faith, but also there can be that unbelief that will come and really come up against that faith that we have, believing God for something. And then recognize what you need to receive from Jesus. Recognize what is the one thing that you need to receive from him. That's just spending time. And again, I love just hearing these faith stories of what God's been doing. We've been hearing some amazing stories of healing. A lot of people is like, well, does God still heal today? Absolutely. God still heals today. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Believe me, I was one of the biggest skeptics. I wanted to figure things out by my mind. But when I see some change in people, I'm like, it can only be God. If I look at my brother, it can only be God. Yes, I know my brother very well. If people know me, they'll say that can only be God. That's how God works. Recognize what you need to receive from him. Maybe it's people that you need to receive into your life. Maybe it's people that's there already. You just need to reach out to them. Sometimes we can privatize our faith so much that we just leave people out. But these people are actually there to build up your faith, help you in your journey. I love about these disciples when they said, I will follow you. And when Jesus invited them to spend time with them, they were together, the 12 of them, these 12 dodgy men. I mean, it was like iron sharpening iron. They were challenging one another, and they were brothers. They spent time together. They ate together. They went through trials together. They went out in twos, and it was just this brotherhood. But they needed each other. How many of you know that we are stronger and better together? That's what spiritual family is about. And finally, yes, surround yourself with some believers. To get belief, we need to spend time with some believers. There's something that I love just to hear and spend time. If I spend time with Steve and Johan and a few of the guys and my wife, you know, and I'm just at a point where there's a bit of negativity, and I'm just, man, I'm just been reading the papers of what's happening in this world on Twitter and Facebook, and just hearing what's happening, you can easily become so discouraged and negative about life. But I love these voices, you know, that actually helps us to say, hey, remember what God told you. Hang on to that promise. Do not give up. I just want us to close our eyes for a moment. I'm just going to pray, and Before I invite Ursula up just to share, Father, we want to thank you for this message this morning, Father, that you really want to restore belief in our hearts again, that we can dream again, Father, even promises that you've given us, Lord, that, Lord, it's so difficult to believe sometimes, but Lord, we ask that you'll help us and just remove this unbelief, Lord. Forgive us of our unbelief. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to, for our faith to grow, Father, that we help us to keep our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord, to get discouraged with the situations that we're in and, Father, the things that we hear in this world, but help us, align us, Lord, with your plans and your purposes in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for these stories, Lord, that encourages us and reminds us that all things are possible. I thank you, Father, that you restore that belief in our hearts, that faith will arise in Jesus' name, Lord. And if we even think, God, of some impossible situations that we're facing right now, and Lord, we some people here that need a miracle in their life. They need a miracle for healing, whatever it is, whatever family member is going through or they going through. Lord, we just want to agree in prayer, Father, for healing. We ask you for your provision. Lord, we ask you for a miracle. Father, we thank you that we serve the God of the breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we thank you even as we hear this morning from Ursula and what you've done in her life, Father, and how you've invited her to come and walk with you and what she's been experiencing, Lord, has been such an encouragement to us in this church, Father, of how you draw people to yourself and you give them a new heart, a new perspective. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done in her life. And I just ask, Lord, as she comes up, Father God, that you will just speak through her. We thank you for this testimony and for what you're gonna, how you're going to use her, Father, to encourage us and to bring belief back in some hearts here this morning of what you can do in Jesus' name. So I just pray, Father, that you will just speak through her, God. Give her peace and we just celebrate her life today in Jesus' name. Amen.
This really is very high up. Okay. Thank you all very much for being here today. It means a lot to me, all of you here, to support me today. I'm especially thankful for my family being here today. I just want to start off by saying that it's a honor and a privilege to be sharing my story, and to be able to share my love of God and the transformations that He's been making in my life. Interestingly, when I was preparing for this testimony, I'd actually left a whole section out, but there's actually a very amazing revelation in that of God's love and miraculous work. So the last 3 weeks, I'd actually, when I've been preparing, I've been writing everything out, how I'd encountered God, all the amazing things He has done about my salvation, my gratitude, prayers, everything, all those sorts of things. But you see, those of you who didn't know the Ursula before God's encounter, well, my family here today could easily tell you what that was like. The last 20 years have been like. I actually, if you can gather from that, was that I actually hadn't written anything down about my past. I'd completely and utterly forgotten about that. And the old Ursula would have always concentrated on the past and on the negative and on the poor me well, you know, just would have automatically gone to those thought patterns. So my head wasn't in that anymore at all. So that's a testimony even in itself. So it was actually, I didn't want to even go to that bit. I didn't want to have to write about that bit. But for you to hear the difference, I have to say a little bit about my past. So since childhood, I would have had extreme anxiety, nervousness, which progressed into adulthood with severe stress, depression, very many, many breakdowns. And it was really like living with a time bomb and on an emotional roller coaster. My parents, my family, and my husband looked after me extremely well. I was seen and diagnosed by so many different doctors, so many different times. I was even in Glasgow at one time on many different treatments, medications, therapies, individual therapies, group therapies. Nothing, absolutely nothing worked. Finally, last year, I lost everything. Absolutely everything. I lost my mum to cancer. I lost my husband. I lost my children. I lost everything. My identity, everything. I couldn't function. In that, I couldn't even live at home anymore. So the time came. It was the worst I had ever, ever felt. And I don't want to go into any more detail because I have one of my children sitting here, but I think you know what I'm talking about. So I really did need a miracle. Somehow I ended up in Edenderry for 6 months. But I now believe my mum was praying hard for me in heaven to get me there. She specifically got me there. I could have gone anywhere. I was looking up many, many places on PropertyPal. I could have ended up anywhere. But I ended up in Edenderry. And that was where God needed me to go. And to show me his amazing, incredible love, which I sensed from Callie and Lenny as soon as I met them. The first day I met them, just from even talking to them, I just knew there was something they carried in them that it was different, that was very unique and very special. So after I came to church here for the first time, which was several weeks after I had met them, I just completely and utterly fell in love with the place. I could just feel Jesus everywhere. Then I decided to go to a thing called New Decisions Seminar, which was 9 weeks ago. About 9 weeks ago, I know, the 15th of September. It's engraved on my, because that's how long, when it was, which dramatically changed my heart. Dramatically changed everything. My mind and my spirit were completely renewed. Literally. And that is where I give my heart to Jesus. Straight after the transition, really, on the third day, after what we would call sort of the deliverance happened, I could feel the presence in my heart and my whole, the heart, my soul, and my spirit immediately. There was this peace and inner calmness on the inside, and it was like I was living from the inside out for the very, very first time in my life, and It's nearly indescribable. And I felt almost lighter. Like this huge heaviness that I've just been carrying my whole life was lighter. And also, there's one of the ladies who was with me as well had said to me, Ursula, you actually look as well on your face. Like I'd been carrying all this like torture and pain on my face. And this lady hadn't really even known me very long. And she said, Ursula, it looks like that is all just gone. It's like nearly like whenever, I know this sounds terrible, but nearly like when somebody dies, this peacefulness just comes across them. And, so I think that says a lot as well. But driving home, I remember talking to another friend in the car. I was just bursting with these feelings of emotions that I had been void of for so, so many years. I could actually feel pleasing emotions. Feelings of excitement, happiness, joy, value, worth, acceptance, completeness, forgiveness as well, which I was never very good at. And I know, like, we all find that hard, but yeah. Grace and the big one, love. Going home, I was determined to deal with life and its challenges. And everyday living would now go from existing to living, which again, a lot of people take that for granted. I wasn't able to live. I was just existing. And what I forgot to mention as well, I was on a destructive path as well. On a very destructive path. Which again, I'm not going to go into detail, but yeah. So I was saved from that too. And I was wanting to live, because I know God loves me and that I'm worthy and valuable to Him, and that He has a plan and a purpose for me. The first plan would be that He would get me back as a mother and a wife, which I now believed, and I really was never going to be able to, and I now believed that I was going to be able to set foot back inside our family home and to sleep there, which I never ever thought I was going to be able to do again, because that place was just full of awful memories. So we've been reunited there as a family for 8 weeks. Praise God, yeah. And not saying it's been easy, but I have put my complete and utter faith in God, and I am most definitely, and I hope my family see it as well, beginning to see God's love emerge in our family. In fact, I'll give a quick example. This morning, when I was getting ready, Patrick brought me up a cup of tea. So I think that's definitely a sign. He has healed me from every single emotional scar and insecurity of my life. There's absolutely without any shadow of a doubt that He has done that. That void that I have felt my entire life has gone. And I have described, my family only know this. I have described this on and on and on my entire life. It is gone. And there's only one person that could have done that. He has been giving me these amazing, like, revelations, that would just blow your mind. And most importantly, He has taught me that I am a child of God. And thank you for that today, by the way. That song, that was the first song that He revealed to me. So it was very, very, it was very special. He has taught me that. And no matter what, that He chose me because love called my name. Nothing else. It wasn't anything else. It was because of love. Not because of, He has taught me that I was to learn to love myself first so that I can love other people as He wants me to. And the thing was that I couldn't do that until He healed me of all my wounds, that I needed to learn to love myself first. But He needed to heal me before I could do that. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus. It's incredible to actually be able to love my family and my friends properly. It's such a gift because I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to access or fully feel or understand what love actually is. And to feel that now is just such a gift. Because it feels now completely different. And sometimes I do get a bit sad that I didn't feel it a long time ago, but you know, when my children were smaller and the pain and all this, but I'm not going to go back to that, but you know, it's just, I'm just so grateful. And you know, it's so different. So there's nobody else that could have done this. It's not, you know, nobody else. So I just want to finish by saying I'm so excited. I'm blessed to be part of this church. Nothing has ever felt as homely or like I've arrived. So thank you, Jesus, for calling me here. And I'm privileged to say, here I am, Lord.
Wow, thank you so much, Ursula. Come on, let's give God another hand. Let's thank God. Lenny, come on. Steve, you want to come up? Let's just pray. Steve, you want to join? Just pray for Ursula.
Well, Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for just giving us this privilege to see and hear what you're doing in Ursula's life. Thank you that you've chosen her and called her a long time ago. And yeah, you are the author of life. You're the author of Ursula's life. And we thank you so much for just reconnecting her with your love and with your own very heart. And we thank you for all the people's lives that will be impacted in the future, even by hearing this story. And by seeing this presence of yours expressed through her life. Lord, we bless her. We bless her family. Bless her husband, her children, her relatives. Father, we bless them all in Jesus' name. And we just ask, continue to bring healing. Continue to bring restoration. Continue to bring joy like never before, God. And let true faith and true belief be restored in people when they encounter Ursula. Thank you for the special day, God, of her baptism as well, Lord, where she just wants to voluntarily, consciously seal that decision to follow you, Lord. We bless her, Father, with your peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, we want to thank you today for Ursula. I want to thank you, Lord, for a lovely testimony. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done in her life. And we proclaim upon her today, Lord, that nothing shall separate her from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we bless Ursula, Lord, and just thank you, Lord, for this day, a day of new beginnings. Father, a day that you've ordained. And Lord, we thank you that heaven celebrates her life today. And Lord, we celebrate with her Lord, the decisions that she's made, Lord, and how you've changed her life. And we give you the praise and we give you the honor today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's just stand, church, as we sing a song.
Yeah, let's finish off the service just with Ursula's favorite song again.
And you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. Oh yes, oh. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, oh, oh. Stand and say, I am a child of God. Sing, you split the sea. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and say, I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, 'cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness this morning, Father God. Let me just give you praise. We give you praise, Father. Friends, we're just going to have some people up as well here to pray for you. Just give you opportunity to respond to this message this morning. Maybe you struggling with unbelief. Maybe you are just stuck in the place. And you're just, Lord, I need prayer. Somebody need to pray for me. We're here. We want to pray for you. We don't want you to leave this morning to receive any prayers. So we want, yeah, just to give you the opportunity. Father, we thank you this morning and for this day. And Father, we pray, God, as we go from this place, Father, that you will use us. Thank you that you go with us. Father, thank you for this baptism after this service. And we thank you, Lord, today is a new day. And we just rejoice in that in Jesus' name. Amen.